in the house who will bless us, who will open our eyes to a number of things. I've known this gentleman over 11 or so years now, or even more than. Amen. I remember my father used to come around helping me do some volunteering work. And this is a guy that I can walk into his house without booking an appointment. You know, some people you have to call them before you come. I can just walk into his house, press his buzzer, and just meet everything as they are. You know what I mean? You know, some of you hear pastor is coming, you quickly tidy up that day, spring cleaning. You know, the sitting room, you over, everything is shining, you know, and all of that. We don't relate that way. I just walk into the place, oh, say, oh, pastor, sorry about that. Say, I understand. Praise God. This is relationship. Amen. And same with him, he can just walk. You say, pastor, I'm 2 minutes away. No, you haven't done that for a while now. I'm just 2 minutes away from your house. I say, you're welcome. Praise God, just come in. Amen. And it's been consistent. You know, consistent himself and his wife. They've really been good, they've been supportive, they've been there. This is someone who would not hug you, you know. If he has any reservation for anything, there's a way he will come about it and tell the pastor, what do you think about, you know, that kind of person. Amen. And I really thank God for his life. Hallelujah. Amen. So this morning, bringing the word of life. Let's put our hands together.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Mary Jesus. Such a blessing, Lord, as a father of this house, and also be taken as a mother. Thank you, Lord. It's not only the people that you know on the pulpit that you'll be happy knowing them personally, but they are different. They're simple. And they are not complicated, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there's some people who tell you that I'm very complicated to understand. Praise the Lord. And they are easy to follow. Can you give them another round of applause, please? Also, the church leadership, all the ministers in the house, all the workers in the house, all the members in the house. I bless God for your life, and I thank you for coming to church today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you talk to your neighbor and say, thank you that you are in church today? I know we don't appreciate ourselves enough. Thank you, you are in church today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's bow down our head and speak to the Almighty God. Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this is the day that you, Lord, have made. You are the one that owns the word of life. I pray that you help me with the delivery of the word today. Lord, that the word will come out fresh, anointed, full of faith and grace in the name of Jesus. That every man, every woman that will hear it, Lord, you will be able to own something and benefit from it in the name of Jesus. The Bible says the Lord sent forth his word, and the word he led them and delivered them from all their oppression. I pray that this word will not be a bondage to us, but be a source of deliverance. It will be a source of help. Lord, it will be a source of lifting in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are in a month of divine provision. And when Pastor asks that I will be sharing God's word, I inquire of the Lord, because everything in the Bible is important, but there's something we need for the season. There's something that will profit us, guide us for such a time like this. And I believe God has put his word in my mouth. And I believe that if you be kind enough to receive his word, it will benefit you. It will go a long way to explain some certain things to you. Because I know many of us have questions. How come God has not done this? Is it that my time has not come? Is it that he's just watching me? Maybe God is just testing me, hoping this would happen, that would happen. But all the answer we need is in God's word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Divine provision. I asked God about it. I said, this divine provision, on what principle does it sit on? And he gave me scriptures, load of scriptures, explaining scriptures with scriptures. And I believe as you follow me, please pay attention. As you follow me through this written word of God, some of your questions will have answers. Praise the Lord. There will be a rising of faith on your inside. There's some things you will do differently. There's some things you'll be more committed to. And there's some things you will run away from. And I pray the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. He said the principle of divine provision rests squarely on the principle of seed planting and harvest. He said that's where it rests on. I was thinking that he would tell me that it rests on prayer. Maybe we would have gone 7 days praying and fasting, and this would have sorted out well. I was thinking that it would be rest on relationship. Maybe we should start developing a relationship. But he said it rests squarely on the principle of seed planting and harvest. And that's one of the most important principles in the Bible. It will run through Genesis to Revelation and every way in it. I want us to turn our Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And it was God that actually pronounced this principle. Not only did he pronounce the principle, he explained how durable that principle will be. Are we there? I will read from King James Bible, then I will read from. He said, while the earth remaineth, as long as the earth is existing, he said, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night will not cease. He said, as long as this principle will be working, as long as night and day is existing, cold and winter is existing, as long as you can wake up in the night, sleep in the day, it will continually exist. And he also says to me that it's also the law of Genesis. If I ask you what the law of Genesis, because Genesis have a law, how do you? The law of Genesis can be seen clearly in Genesis 1:21. And God created a great whale, and every living creature that moveth, which water brought forth abundantly. He said, after their kind. If you have a Bible that you can underline it. If you have an electronic Bible that you can color it. He said, after their kind, every winged fowl, after his kind, and God so did. Everything produced after his kind. If you sow a seed, it will germinate after his kind. Seed produce its own kind out. You will not sow banana and reap pawpaw. You will not sow apple and you will reap orange. It's always after it. It's always called the law of Genesis. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As though this principle is only in Old Testament, the first major teaching that Jesus Christ did was also on seed. Mark chapter 4. I will read from 1 to 14. Because of our time, I will read quickly. Just follow me. Mark chapter 4, 1 to 14. And he began again to teach by the seaside, that was Jesus, And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. The whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parable, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowl of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground, and it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and became as, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorn grew up and choked it, and it yielded not fruit. Others fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit, sprang up and increased, and brought forth 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, he that has an ear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him, the 12, they came to ask him about the parable. And he said unto them, unto you is given to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parable, seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time you should be converted, and thy sin shall be forgiven. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? He said, do you not know this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower sowed the word. When Jesus Christ is saying that this is the most elementary parable of all, if you don't understand this parable, every other parable will be a mystery to you. And that is the law of sowing and reaping. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I'm using scripture so that you will see the background where I'm coming from. As though Jesus Christ did not do justice to that law of sowing and reaping, Paul took a leap from what he said and was explaining it to you in Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. He said, let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth him in all good things. So it's not wrong for people that are teaching you God's word. Example, my pastor is constantly teaching you God's word. It is not a wrong thing for you to sow into his life. I know many people look at you and say, man is already settled. Why would I give him something? But this is Paul that was admonishing. He said, let him that is taught in the word communicate, they said, give unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 7 now amplified. He said, be not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that which he shall reap. 8. For he that soweth unto the flesh, of the flesh he shall reap corruption. But he that soweth in the spirit shall of the spirit soweth reap life everlasting. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing. Don't be weary of doing good things. For in due season you will reap if you faint not. Praise the Lord. Everything that we need in life comes from seed. The way you were born, you are conceived by seed. Everything in life. If you need any help, you must always start from the seed. And because it was God that originated it, he wanted to be grounded in you. That seed is the result of everything. Actually, the answer to every need in life is resident of seed. And every seed sown, it commands a response. If you give something, Maybe not money. Maybe you give attention. It will respond back. Have you noticed that you smile to people, they smile automatically back to you? If you frown at them, people will automatically frown back at you. If you sow seed, people smile. I know some people, if you smile at them, they will frown. But after a while, they will calm down. Why? Because you keep sowing that seed to them. Every seed commands a response. And I will show you in the scriptures and my personal life too. Things I've seen that seed always achieved. Let's look at the case of Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6. This is Solomon before the Lord. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offering upon it. How many?
1,000.
How many again?
1,000.
1,000 burnt offering. One man. He offered 1,000 burnt offering. Verse 7. In the night, did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask anything that you want, I will give it. In the history of man, nobody has offered that much offering at one time before. And because of his giving that much, it provoked the heaven. And God showed up in the night, said, what is this man about? What do you want? If you give an uncommon thing, something uncommon will appear. It's just now. Look at what Solomon did. He offered it. It's almost as though he looked at what other human beings have done before and said, this journey that I'm going to, if I have to go very far, I have to do something unusual. So he gave something unusual. And God showed up in the night. He said, anything that you want. And God started counting. He said, even any of your enemy, you want this one, you want that one. And God said, anything. It was a blank check that God gave him. At the point of seed. You know your seed will provoke the heavens. I'll share this next one. There was a lady in this church. She came to me one day. I think we finished prayer. Probably the pastor was not around. And the lady just called at me. He said, Rowdy, there's trouble. I said, sit down. What's the problem? He said, things are tight. I said, really? What's happening? Is it that you're not working or? He said, he said, I've been tithing. I've been doing everything I should do, but things are tight. And I said, okay, are you giving that? Yes. Are you giving that? Yes. I said, there's a God in heaven that always remembers seed. I said, with your seed, you are good to go. And we sat together and we prayed. I said, as we are rounding up the prayer, God just said, ask her that you should go and put the seed on that altar. And the lady did what the Spirit of God said. Do you know what happened? Within a space of a week, this is a lady that was struggling. She got a new business. They told her that that business, when you finish selling, you should come and deliver money. They gave her two things. She was looking for accommodation. It came. Just like that. Why? Because she did something unusual. I'm very sure she was at her wit end. How would somebody that was at her wit end do bring something out of something that is not? But what she did was that she could care less about what is not. She brought something and did what God said, and the doctors opened. Do you know when she was sharing her testimony? Even I myself was like, God, God, you're big. I'm going somewhere with this. That was today. Let me like this, how it was done. There was a woman that came to the prophet and told the prophet, he said, "Sir, you're a man of God. My husband used to work for you, but the man is late now, dead. He was not only late, he left me with some debt. Now, as though that was not big enough. Now I have only two children and they are about to take them away from me." He said, "But that man was your servant." I would have expected the man to start saying that, "Let's start checking on that man. What is he doing right?" Do you know what the prophet said? Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4. So to show you that I didn't make up that story, it was a true story. 2 Kings chapter 4. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the son of the prophet unto Elijah, saying, 'My servant, thy servant, my husband is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be born woman.'" Verse 2, please listen carefully. "And Elijah said unto her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?'" You know, I wouldn't have think that the prophet would refer to what the woman has in the house, because this woman came to say that she doesn't have anything. But the prophet understood the seed principle, that except there is a seed, I can't help this woman. And the seed must come from the woman. And this is the woman that doesn't have anything. Do you know, we've actually pitied people so much that we stop their harvest from coming. We have given too fast. Saying, let's just help this person. No. Listen to God. The way of God is this: I want this seed. If you want the miracle, where is your seed? Do you know, sometimes the seed might not even be money. It might be a clothing. It might be something that is attached to that person, so that God can multiply it. Do you know God cannot multiply zero? 1 million times zero is still zero. 10 million times zero is still zero. But so many people are pointing their hand and saying, "I have zero." I said, "The ways of God baffles me and is beyond human comprehension." Look at it. He said, "Where is that seed?" Because all the stories that you've been telling me, they want to take your son, they want to take your daughter, all those ones are stories. Let's go to the court and raise the seed. And the lady said, and the lady was explaining the way. He said, "I remember there's the oil." The man said, "That is the seed." He said, "Take that oil." And instruction came. How many people have been eating their seed? Every man, every woman that told me they didn't have anything, at one point or the other, you're eating that seed. And because you have the seed, there's nothing to multiply. And God is always looking. He wants to multiply something. But because your seed is either you're eating it or you're hiding it, He needs to bless that seed. I'll tell you this testimony. There was a day we came for Bible study. That's why it's good to come for Bible study. The whole money in my house is £5. And the only one that holds it, I have three children and the wife. I just took my car to MOT. They said they need £400. So it means I will not be driving from that time onward. Because if they catch you, the police will not be telling you that, okay, you didn't have money. That's why you didn't do it. You collect car. That's what you are paid to do. I came. That night, I wasn't sure what you were going to eat. I could have calculated it that you can eat chili, buy chili then, on our way home. And we all eat. I will have fun. But I knew that there is a God in heaven. And I was not ready to tell anyone. If I have asked pastor, some people that have given me something. But I'm in the business of exercising my faith.
That's it.
It has to work. Because if this thing is not working for you, you can't preach to anybody. We've had so many people that are preaching it. But if you ask them, is it working for you? They will say, yeah, we are still waiting. That's £5. I didn't say anything. I was still dressed the way I was dressed. I was still carrying myself the way I was carrying myself. I made sure everybody was like, oh, I'm driving the car. I can't drive £5 in the car. But that was what I had. And on asking God, I said, God, I need help. He said, you have a seed. I said, what? He said, that £5. I said, ah. He said, that £5. He said, give it. He said, offering will go. I said, give it. As I was putting it in the envelope, but my heart released it. When that offering hit me, I was like, there's nothing you can lose if you don't have anything. But by strange occurrence, what did I call it? Strange occurrence. By the next day, boom, all I need was that. MOT was done. If you ask me how it was done up to today, but can I add another thing? Another day like that has never happened again. That will not happen. But if I kept my £5, I would have eaten chibi. But what comes after? I would have cornered somebody. And that is where I'm going. Every man, every woman, God has put a seed in your hand. What are you going to do with it? All this shouting I was doing about this, that God always requires a seed. I'll tell you another story. At least that's my own story. Let's look at the Bible again. 1 Kings chapter 17. And another story of two struggling individuals. These two individuals were struggling. And one was out to depend on another one that is struggling too. It's quite an interesting story. And this is God telling the prophet that is about, his meal has finished. And God told the prophet, he said, I'm sending you to a lady that will feed you till the, because there was a famine in the land. People are not eating well. Look at this. 1 Kings chapter 17 verses 9 to 14. He said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman is a woman that doesn't have a husband, just for clarity's sake, there to sustain thee. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came by the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering stick. And he called on her and said, fetch me water. The man was tired. He said, call, bring me. He said, okay. Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel. The lady looked at her and said, look at you. I said, I have that one. And this is water that you have to. But why delay? The lady was going. He said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. The lady stopped. He said, for the water I can give. But the morsel that I'm preparing, I will tell you the story of that morsel. Maybe you will repent. He said, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord liveth. This lady was swearing. You know how you swear. The arm, God sees you. He said, as the Lord liveth, I am not a cake, but a handful of meal in the barrel, a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks. It shows you that the food is not many. Did you see what she's gathering? He said, I'm gathering two sticks. It's a small meal. That I may go in, dress it for me and my son, so that we will eat it and what? And that was the one that God sent the prophet to. Now, I'm trying to show you a picture. Because so many times, that I've talked to so many people, all the time. They always give that heart. I would have done something if I had enough. But it's not the enough that they're talking about. It's a seed in your heart. He said, verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, he said, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me a little cake first. If you follow this reading, you will think this man of God is good. Logically thinking, you will think this man of God is good. You saw a woman that was about to die, preparing her last meal for herself and her child to eat and die. And the only thing you could say is that, make sure you prepare my own first. I know some people are saying, even not me, I will look at that prophet and say, you're not a prophet of God, you're a prophet of God. But you know what? A sustenance dependent on making that decision. Because that man said to her, he said, if you do what I ask you first, for the entire time of famine, you will live. Imagine if you come to pastor and say, pastor, I want to bring it home to you. And you meet that pastor and say, pastor, you don't know what is happening. My house rent is 700. I have only 3. And probably you give me 400. Okay. And a pastor looked at you and said, that's not the way to work. That 300, I want the 300. That's the situation that this woman. The reason why I brought it home to you, because you may not comprehend what that lady did. And Paul said, is that 300? I want you to bring it. I'm very sure many of you, the ladies of people say, right to you. But the man that is brought to you is not going to at all. But the principle is seed. He was trying to get you to get the seed out of your hand. Because until the seed comes out of your hand, expansion is not coming. Your miracle is tied down. And I beg to tell you, many of you, God has, it's not even found that I said it, God has told you what to do. But what he told you to do does not make sense. So you get it quiet. And you are looking for other way out. If you are in this kingdom, there is no other way out. It's always seen. It's always seen. Everything in the kingdom predicates on seed. Can I surprise you? Why do you think God asked Abraham to give his only child? Some people say, it's to test him. Agree. Do you know if Abraham did not give his only child, Jesus Christ, the only child of God, will not come? Covenant binded the two of them, saying that all through you, the nation of the earth will be blessed. That's the covenant. And God looked down the line, you need my son, so I need your son. See, you now understand why Abraham could not refuse. Because covenant has bound the two of them. Saying that everything I need from your hand, you have to give it. So when he gave his only son, when it was time to go for God to give his only son was there. I pray we will comprehend the ways of God. Amen. I pray we will comprehend the ways of God. I know what I'm saying is like, some people are like, I can't figure it out. Don't worry. Just check the scripture. You will see it there. For verse 14, I'm reading from 1 Kings 17:14. This is what the prophet told her. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal will not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sent rain. Do you want instant gratification or long-time sustenance? You have to decide. Because the instant gratification is that she will eat and die. Mm-hmm. But the long time gratification is that she will give and life will be sustained. All through a child's life and herself. Not only three of them are feeding the prophet of God. So three people will be feeding consistently. Not to talk of how many other people will be feeding. The Lord will see and harvest. Bible says, as long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest will not cease. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at Jesus' miracles. Because sometimes when we talk about things like this, people wonder that, what did Jesus Christ do on his own? Do you know Jesus Christ had a situation where there were a drought in his ministry? In the desert. He has 6,000 people to feed. Let's look. Mark chapter 6. And this is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples after they've stayed with him for 3 solid days. He answered and said unto them, give them food to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves do you have? Let me interpret it to you. How many seed is in your hand? When you ask God for something, he asks for seed. He wants to connect to the seed. He said, what is the seed that you have in your hand? So many people are believing God for so many things. God is asking, what seed is in your hand? That was what he asked the disciples. What seed would you keep? And they said to him, they said, sir, the only thing that we have is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. He said, that's enough. That's enough. It's always seed. It's always seed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, we've established seed. Now we will move higher to something else. How many of us are still in church? I know some people's eyes are open now. They're like, kind of messing with. I thought it's divine provision. I'm telling you, divine provision. The first thing God required of you is not your money. Don't get it mixed up. God is rich. If a God of heaven can make the street of heaven gold, he has something. He owns everything. Praise the Lord. He owns everything. Everything, he owns it. But the first thing he required of you first is you, not what is in your pocket. So many people keep saying, I know what they want. No, God is too rich. God wants to bless you. And that is the first area. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the first thing God wants. So many people are pointing to their pocket. God said, no, not pocket first. You. I need you. If you will give yourself to me, everything will be easy. I know many people are saying, if I give myself prayer to God, I don't know what he wants me to do. I said, don't worry about that. He said, I want you. If you will give me your heart, that's the first one. Not your wallet. You. He said, by the mercy, present your body unto God, a living sacrifice. Verse 2 said, be not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God wants you, spirit, soul, and body. He wants you on that altar, not dead, but living. So many people always think of sacrifice as dead. He wants you alive. That if you make, you demand of you, you will come to him. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. To prove to you that God is not interested in the money that you think he's interested in, I'll show you a man that decided that I want to buy what God has. And listen to what happened to him. I'm reading from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 13. I'll read from verse 9. Or maybe I should start from verse 8. He said, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. He bewitched people of Samaria, giving out that he himself is a great one, to whom they all gave heed. From the least to the greatest, saying this man is a great man of God. They are even confusing him with God. And to him they had regard, because of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. This man got born again. Verse 13. And Simon himself believed also where Philip preached. And he was baptized. He had baptism. And he continued with Philip. And wonder beholding the miracle signs and wonder which was done. Verse 18 is where I'm going. And when Simon saw that through laying of hand of apostle, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. And Peter looked at him. He said, your money perish with you. If you give something and not yourself first, it's no use. The first thing is you and your heart, not anything else. God wants you. God wants to have relationship. God wants to put himself into you. God wants your life to be a testimony all around. So he wants to use you as a trophy to show people that what I can do, no matter where you are in life, God can take the most dishonorable thing and turn it around. It's in the business of it. Did he not create you in the first place? Did he not create you in the first place? He said, he that created an eye, did you not see? He that created leg, can he not walk? He said, I created everything. So if you present yourself to him, even things you hate about yourself, God will make it good. So that's the first step he wants. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
While I'm rounding up, the second thing after you have given yourself, God wants the first and the best. Can somebody say that to me?
God wants the first and the best.
Can you say that?
God wants the first and the best.
With no argument. But until you give yourself to God, you can't give your best and the first. What separates Esau's sacrifice from Abel's sacrifice? First and the best. The other one gave something. When you gave something, because God is not begging, he looked at you and said, I'm not your waitress, so don't tip me. And that's the case that we are going in. He wants the first and the best. And I'm going to give you this scripture. If you can chew on it, chew on it. Can you write down this scripture? I won't be able to go into it, but it's in my heart to give it to you. Matthew 23:23, Luke 18:12, Hebrews 7:1-11, Hebrews 7:12-17. Did you get that? Okay, I'll go over it again. Matthew 23:23, Luke 18:12, Hebrews 7:1-11. Hebrews 7:12-17. That will answer the question about tithe. I would have loved to get into it. It's all the way from Genesis to Hebrew, New Testament. Any topic that you want to test their viability in the Bible, there must be a seed of that topic in Genesis. You must find it in all the books of Moses, one way or the other. You must see it probably in Proverbs, in Psalms. You must enjoy the feel of it in the New Testament. He has to cut across. He can't be localized. You will see him there. And I want to ask you this question. Can God trust that you will be faithful with the little that you give? Because if you are not faithful in the little, God cannot commit much into your hand. And God asks you to do that. Somebody said, even after I've removed this, it's not enough. I said, that's why God said, give it. Why? Testing your heart, whether you will be faithful in it. The Bible says, he that is faithful in little, will be faithful in it. He that will not be faithful in little, cannot be faithful in much. You'll be praying for 100,000. It won't come if that 10 pounds is too big in your eyes to give. If God give you 100,000, you say 10,000 is too much. What does God want to start for? But in little things, God will say, can I trust you with that? Can I trust you with that? Even when you are given, your attitude counts. I've seen many people giving, not receiving anything. Why? Attitude. Look at it. As they are saying things here, someone is already preparing this. I said, it's my money for today. I said, keep your money. Do you know why? If you give it, you waste it. Why? God does not appreciate it. What we want you to do is that we want to give. Can I say that again? We want you to want to give. We don't want you to do this. Because if you want to give, God sees your heart. Now we put God at your divide. And do you know one thing? God is waiting. God has all the supply. How many ways can you think of getting a million? Can I tell you how many ways you can think? Probably two. Some people think to borrow it or to steal it. God has a million ways of giving you a million pounds without blinking. But can he trust you? Somebody said, I can't even trust myself with it. Not to talk of God, trust him. But God wants to start you small so that you'll be able to trust you with it. I want us to bow down. Bible says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall receive. We are in a season of divine provision. As I'm speaking, I know many people are thinking, God, how can I move from where I am to where I'm going? And do you know God is not an absentee father? He will tell you. But what he will tell you, if you do it, your situation will turn around. The mercy of God will answer. The help and assistance of God will be waiting. Even from places you never imagined. Men that you never heard their name will help you and assist you. Why? At the point